This podcast is brought to you by SUM, the School of Meaningful Experiences. For more information, visit www.sum.education. That's www.some.edu/CATION. Hello there. My name is Rakesh Godwani. Welcome to Plunge. Andy had mixed feelings in his mind as he was typing his resignation letter. He was 28, in a good job as a business analyst in a Fortune 500 company, and was very good at his work. He had a great future ahead of him in his company. But besides his job, he had a passion too. From his childhood, he would make robots that would move around and could do menial tasks in his home, like fetch a remote control or flip the switch of the vacuum cleaner. These gadgets looked rustic, but they worked really well. He would make them from common things found in the household or in someone's garage. He had won various science competitions at school as well. Basically, imagine Iron Man, but without the inheritance and the attitude. He was a genius. About a year ago, before he sat down to type his resignation letter, he had been to the famous Las Vegas Consumer Electronics Show. He lapped every second of this trip. He saw cool innovations, gadgets, and realized that the future is in AI and robotics. Though he did not have a formal degree in any of them, he felt that he should take a plunge and make his passion as his calling. He had saved some money to keep him going for a year and told his girlfriend that marriage has to wait. She was supportive too. His parents told him that he can stay with them if needed and he doesn't need to worry about rents. Nothing could be a more ideal situation than this for Andy to take the plunge. In the last few months, he built a small lab in his apartment, tinkered with a gadget with a video camera that could move around, take instructions through a mobile app, and send an alarm message to the owner if an intruder came in the house. He called it RoboCop. He showed the prototype to a friend who was an investor and he loved it. He told Andy that, "Come and talk to me once you're ready to go to the market." Andy then met some other people who were in the business of manufacturing and distribution, and they all too seemed positive to take this to the market. Andy was a business analyst and an MBA by qualification. He made his business plan on a spreadsheet with all kinds of numbers and formulas. It looked like a profitable venture. He decided to sink his savings into this venture and was now typing his resignation letter in an email to his boss. At about 11:30 in the night, he pressed the send button. The next day, he met his boss and negotiated an exit for 2 weeks. His boss was not very happy to see him go, but he saw his passion for this venture. Everyone at work pulled in and gave him a nice send-off lunch too. Things looked great for Andy. But everything around him was not great. That same week, Lehman Brothers announced bankruptcy and all hell broke loose in the financial markets around the world. His friend, the investor, lost his job and a ton of money that his company had invested in bogus schemes related to the subprime crisis. All the distributors that he had spoken to told him that they will not be able to help him now. The future of the markets looked very grim. Andy had already sunk his savings into manufacturing. The company was in China and they also were broke. Andy's world went in a tailspin, and he realized that the next few months will be tough for him. What happened to Andy after this is not the focus of this episode. In this episode, I want to talk about what actually happens after taking the plunge to follow your calling. I call it the journey, and it is never a straight line. This journey is curvy, loopy, goes up, falls down many times, sometimes even goes backwards and in all other directions. This journey can be very nerving for many of us, including Andy. all carefully laid plans can go completely haywire during this journey. Remember the lessons of physics when we were young? Most of the laws of physics were made for the ideal world. But we all know that the ideal world is a fantasy. The real world is full of friction and chaos, which can alter everything, just like how the 2008 financial meltdown did for Andy. So let us try to understand this journey a little bit more closely. I encourage you all to listen to a podcast called How I Built This by Guy Raz. Each episode outlines the journeys of famous entrepreneurs and how they built their ventures from start to where they are now. Almost every entrepreneur suffered multiple setbacks after venturing out, just like Andy. My favorite episode is that of Joe Gebbia, one of the founders of Airbnb. I encourage you to listen to the entire episode because it gives you a true glimpse into the journey of entrepreneurship, which can help you in your own journeys of plunge as well. So Joe Gebbia and Brian Chesky are roommates in San Francisco who come up with a crazy idea. They rent out space in their apartment for any traveler who's looking out for an affordable bed and breakfast deal. They build a website and get 3 customers who pay them $80 each for this service. So they decide to take this idea and target a big conference that was coming up in a different city. They knew that the people would want a place to stay, and there weren't enough hotel and motel rooms in that city. They worked very hard, but after all that effort, not many residents of that city took that service. They were not sure to allow strangers in their house. Short of cash, they started selling breakfast cereals in a nicely designed package and called them Obama O's. They made a lot of money selling these boxes, which helped them invest in a better website and more marketing. But still the response was cold. Then they figured out the real problem. The people who were letting their rooms to be rented on this platform weren't taking nice pictures. So when customers saw them, they didn't feel like staying in that home. So the founders actually spent time in New York and helped their customers put better pictures of their rooms, and the sales doubled. They kept working at this, and one day, someone put the entire home up for rent. Then someone even put an entire private island on rent. Though they are a big company operating in 191 countries worldwide today, their journey hasn't been easy. They had cash crunches, they had tech problems, they had breakdowns, they had customer issues. But the key here is to keep walking on this journey despite the ups, downs, loops, curves, etc. Sometimes you might even hit a roadblock or a wall. So what do you do then? You follow Captain Haddock's advice he gave to Tintin in the animation movie called The Secret of the Unicorn. You hit a wall, you push through it.
You send out the wrong signal. That is what people pick up. Do you understand? You care about something, you fight for it. You hit a wall, you push through it. There's something you need to know about failure, Tintin. You can never let it defeat you.
If you list the ingredients of the best stories of the world, I'm pretty sure you'll find the word journey in that list of ingredients besides others like characters, war, romance, etc. Let us take the famous trilogy, The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien as an example. A significant element of this trilogy, which was also made into movies, is the journey that a meek hobbit, Frodo Baggins, undertakes from his Shire to the cracks of the Doom to destroy the ring and save Middle-earth.
I am a servant of the secret fire, wielder of the flame of Arnor. The dark fire will not avail you, flame of Uldum! You shall not pass!
This journey is not like the journey that many of us undertake in our lives, from city A to B in planes or trains or buses. IMDb does a good job in describing Frodo's journey. Through mountains, snow, darkness, forests, rivers, and plains, facing evil and danger at every corner, the Fellowship of the Ring must go. Their quest to destroy the One Ring is the only hope for the end of the Dark Lord's reign. Journeys are at the heart of every good story. The protagonist has a mission to complete or a treasure to find, and this journey is an essential part of that mission. John Steinbeck's book, The Grapes of Wrath, is a story of a family of Jodes who move from the dust bowl of Oklahoma to the fruit farms of California. Amitav Ghosh's books, The Sea of Poppies, chronicles the journey of an eccentric group of people aboard a ship called the Ibis. Alice in Wonderland is a journey of a curious little girl to a world full of strange people like the Cheshire Cat, the Mad Hatter, Jabberwocky, etc. James Bond, Indiana Jones, Mission Impossible, Avengers, what do they all have in common besides trigger-happy action heroes? You guessed it right. A journey to find and stop the bad guys to save the world. In fact, the concept of a journey and its relevance to leadership has been researched and documented in a brilliant book called The Hero's Journey by Joseph Campbell. If you don't have the time to read the entire book, there is a short 5-minute summary animation video from TED-Ed. What this book says is that each of us can become a hero just like all the famous heroes that we find around us if we follow the cycle called the hero's journey. This cycle has 10 steps, and one must go through each of them to become a leader. This journey is fraught with monsters lurking in dangerous caves, which the hero must enter to fight in order to move to the next level. The best part I like about this book is a profound quote that goes as follows: "The cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek." So how does one prepare for this journey? What are the qualities that the traveler should have to survive it? As I see it, there are many, but these 4 key qualities are essential for someone to take a plunge and survive the journey. The first element is a sense of direction to seek the treasure. That is why in the olden days, the travelers looked at stars and invented the compass. One must know which direction he is headed towards in the large context of the world. Without a sense of direction, the journeys can become unproductive and tiring. And this concept is everywhere, including product development in companies. Check out a video on how Harley Davidson created and launched a completely new bike, the V-Rod. In that video, there is a time when the team is starting on an open white canvas to design the bike and are exploring how to move forward. But they all converge on one aspect that the bike has to be. It must be fast and must compete with the sports bike from other competitors, especially from Japan. Once this becomes very clear, it gives all the teams a sense of direction to march towards, which translates to a bike which has a low center of gravity and a powerful new engine for speed. A sweet movie that explains this quality better is called Finding Nemo. My kids and I have watched it 12 times. Nemo, a small clownfish in a gorgeous coral reef, is captured by human divers. His dad, Marlin, races behind the divers, but they are in a fast boat and get away. Marlin tries to follow the traces of the boat, but very soon they vanish, and Marlin sees nothing except the open sea in front of him. He doesn't know which direction the boat went. If he does not choose the right direction, he might not be able to see his son forever, So what does Marlin do? This is when the second quality of the traveler is very important. He starts asking for help and bumps into Dory, a fish with short-term memory loss, who guides him to the direction where she has seen the boat go, and the movie proceeds further. Marlin discovers the mask that the diver was wearing when they took his son Nemo. On that mask is an address of Sydney, Australia. Now the direction for Marlin and Dory is very clear. But this wouldn't have happened if Marlin wouldn't have asked for help and met Dory. Throughout their journey, Marlin and Dory face sharks, whales, jellyfishes, and even a sea devil lurking in a deep, dark pit. But their sense of direction remains constant. Sydney, Australia. And they keep asking for help from a variety of people. A shoal of tuna, a group of turtles, and even a blue sperm whale to ensure that they stayed on course. What this sweet movie teaches us is to overcome our own internal challenges, and reaching out to others for help is one of them. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness, as many of us think it to be. We don't like to be seen as vulnerable, or perhaps we are just too proud or influenced by movies of alpha males and superheroes who don't need anybody's help. Imagine Batman tweeting, "Hey Tweeples, the Joker is a tough one and beyond me. Could use some help." But no, Batman is Batman. He will figure everything out by himself and does influence us to do the same, as it seems more heroic. But Dr. Brené Brown, author of The Power of Vulnerability, argues that being vulnerable is actually a sign of strength and leadership. Amanda Palmer, founder of Patreon, but more popularly known as the singer who raised a whopping $1.2 million for her music album through a crowdfunding campaign or Kickstarter, also talks about this in her book called The Art of Asking. Both these books are also TED Talks by their respective authors and have a powerful message in them. Don't be shy from reaching out to others. Don't hesitate in asking for help. Even scripture says the same thing in these words: "Ask and so you shall receive." And don't forget the same message explained in a corporate setting: a squeaky wheel gets the oil. The third quality one must have to fulfill this journey is to find a tribe, also known as a community or a network. The first book of Tolkien's trilogy is called The Fellowship of the Ring, which focuses on how a group of people come together to form a fellowship of members who agree on a common goal. In this case, the goal is to help Frodo reach the cracks of the Doom so that he can destroy the ring and save Middle-earth from the evil Dark Lord Sauron. This fellowship, in modern entrepreneurial language, could be thought of as a team where each person brings some skills or resources that can be helpful for the overall journey. The traveler must not only overcome his hesitations to ask for help, he must have the knack to make friends and contacts with others and build a network which can help him somewhere in this journey. The art of networking with others is an essential survival quality for a traveler. It is not only about communication and conversations, it is also about the ability to forge relationships and use them to your advantage. It's not about what you know, but it is about who you know that matters. One of my favorite examples of how knowing the right people is important is from a movie called A Million Dollar Arm. It is a true story of a sports agent named J.B. Bernstein, who comes up with a radical idea of going to India, organize a talent hunt to find fast pitchers and bring them to America so that they are recruited by a major baseball team. Bernstein uses all his networks that he has built over years to help him. He knows the owner of a baseball franchise who funds his idea. He goes to India, shortlists two players from 38,000 that apply, and brings them to America. But the problem is that the scouts, people who look out for fresh talent and connect them to baseball teams, haven't shown a keen interest. Bernstein is disappointed and is not sure what to do. In the middle of this, Bernstein's friend Ray, a baseball coach who helped him shortlist those two kids in India and is now retired, calls him over for lunch at an obscure restaurant. Bernstein is least interested, but goes to this restaurant. Ray orders a chicken salad and is talking how great the dish is. Bernstein is really not in a mood for this talk and is about to walk out. But Ray insists that he sit down and gestures to a person who has just walked in the restaurant. This person is the scout of a baseball team called Pittsburgh Pirates, who frequents this restaurant. Ray introduces Bernstein to the scout and walks out. It is then that Bernstein realizes the door that Ray had opened for him. The idea of inviting him to this restaurant was to meet the scout for Pittsburgh Pirates and have him see Bernstein's new pitchers. Bernstein makes the most of this meeting and convinces the scout to see the boys practice the next day. If Bernstein had not known Ray, who had not known about the scout from Pittsburgh Pirates and his fondness for that restaurant, those two Indian players, Rinku Shah and Dinesh Patel, would not be playing professional baseball today. Making a tribe is about realizing the power of the human connections around us. Talent is important, but having someone in your tribe to take your talent to the place it should be is equally important too. This means that one must invest time and effort in making the connections. Building trust takes time. So start building your tribe today. Leave your home, office, and meet people. Get to know them. Someday they will help you in your journey. Finally, the fourth quality a person must have for this journey is called grit. Dictionary defines grit as perseverance, resilience, determination, courage, resolve, and many more such adjectives. I like to think of grit as a quality in a person who has decided to do something and will not stop till he has finished it. Many years ago, a group of my friends invited me to join them for a trek. I love long walks myself. But what I did not know was that this trek was on a mountain. It was hot. I got dehydrated and was not able to endure such a steep climb. My body ached. I had sores on my feet, and many times I told my group that I cannot go any further. The others in the group were having a hard time as well. Their bodies also ached, and they had sores on their feet too. But they had more grit than I. They were resilient and determined to finish the trek, whereas I wasn't. That is what Angela Duckworth talks about in her book called Grit, The Power of Passion and Perseverance. She also has a TED Talk with the same name that you could check out. Plunge and grit are connected. If you are not passionate about your calling, you will not be able to persevere in this journey. If you haven't experienced the highs of your zones, you will not be able to handle the lows of this journey. And trust me, the lows come in abundance. Somewhere in the 70s, in the deep hinterlands of Bihar, lived a simple young man named Dashrath Manji, along with his wife Falguni Devi. The village that they lived in had no medical facilities. Everyone in their village had to go out to the next village for medical help. And in the middle of these two villages stood a mountain. So the villagers had to go around the mountain to reach the medical center of the other village. If someone flew from this village to the medical center, the distance was just 3 kilometers. But because of this mountain, it became 30 kilometers. And this journey was not easy. It would take them hours, sometimes a full day, as they had to circumvent the entire mountain in bullock carts. And because of the treacherous rocky terrain, sometimes they would break down too. In such a challenging scenario, sadly, Falguni fell sick. Dashrath tried to rush her to the medical center, but because of the time they took to circumvent the mountain and the arduous journey, she died on the way. Dashrath was devastated and blamed the mountain for her death. After cremating Falguni, he decided to cut a road in between the mountain so that others would not suffer the same fate. So he decided to pick a shovel and a container and started to dig. Everyone in the village thought that he has gone mad. They tried to talk him out of this, but he was resolute. He said to them that he will not stop till he cuts a road in the mountain and connects both the villages. Every morning, just like how all of us had to go to our work, Dashrath would go to his mountain and start digging. Imagine the situation and put yourself in Dashrath's shoes. This is central India. The temperatures can go up to 40 degrees in summers and in winters touch a single digit, sometimes zero. Sometimes it would rain and the rocks would be slippery. There could be snakes and scorpions under the rocks. Your body would ache and revolt. Plus, no one in the village would talk to you. You would be branded as a madman. You have lost your wife and your social status. You would be hungry, but there is no one to feed you. You would hurt your hands and feet, but there is no one to take care of you. How long do you think you can go on? A day, a week, a month, max? Dashrath Manji did this for 22 years. 22 years. Imagine, many of us don't even do our activities for more than 22 minutes these days because of the various challenges our mind throws at us. But this man woke up every morning for 22 years and worked on a mountain in the hope of cutting a road in it so that they can reach the medical center on time and get help which can save their lives. The road is 110 meters long, 7.7 meters deep, and 9.1 meters wide. If this is not an example of grit, then I don't know what is. The journey of plunge is long and tough, but it also brings with it a tremendous amount of joy and accomplishment. With the four qualities, a sense of direction, asking for help, finding a tribe, and finally grit and perseverance, one can continue on this journey to fulfill their calling. Marlin finally got reunited with Nemo. V-Rod brought Harley Davidson out of bankruptcy. Frodo destroyed the ring and saved Middle-earth. Amanda Palmer is launching her new album in 2019. And Rinku and Dinesh have inspired many young people in India to follow baseball as a full-time calling. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "If you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But by all means, keep moving."